Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Dalet. We begin on Mem Dalet Omer Aleph, 11 lines down at the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Mi Yoish Asher Eras Isha Vechule." We went through the Mishnah yesterday, share where we said that if a man takes a woman in the first stage of marriage, she was in Arusa with him, but they never lived together. So then that person goes out to the front, but then is sent back to the supply chain, to the back of the lines, to go and take care of the food and of the roads, and doesn't fight in the front. So the Gemara tells us, Tanur Rabbah, we're in the Braisa. How do we know that this applies to other situations other than a regular case of an Arusa? So the Pasuk says, Asher Eras, if a man did Erusin. So this implies any type of Erusin. Echadam Aris is a Basula, whether the man did Erusin with a woman who previously was not married, a Basula, or the Echadam Aris Salmona. Even if he made Erusin with a woman who previously was married, never her husband passed away, this is included in the din that he gets to go back to the back lines and be the supply chain person and not be up the front at the battle. And likewise, it includes Echad Shomeris Yovam. It includes person who Nebuch, the brother, died without children, and now he's the Yavam to this woman, so he also gets to go back to the lines and be the supply chain and not be in the front of the battle. And this would even apply to all the brothers who are potential Yavamim to this woman, to this Yavama. Even if there were five brothers originally, and one of them dies in the Muhammad. So now the Muhammad's already started. The other four brothers are at the front lines. So all four of those other brothers get to go back to the supply chain because each of them potentially could be the one who will be Ishto, like we learned in yesterday's year, and therefore all of them get to go back, even though only one of them will actually be the Yavam. Kulon Choshen, all of them go back. Now, the Pasuk also said the word Velo Likacha. He hasn't yet taken her in the second stage of marriage. It didn't say the word Lo Lokach. So, lo lakach, it didn't say, ella velo lakacha. So what do we learn from this miyat lakacha? He didn't take her. So this comes to exclude prat li'almon l'koin gadol, grush v'chalus l'koin hedjot, mamzerusin sil l'yisrael, and basisol l'mamzer l'nasin. We discussed this in more detail in the yesterday show, the previous year, that this comes to exclude all of these Yisurim Daraisa where the marriage would be chal. So the erusin did take effect, albeit it's an Isser marriage. And this goes according to the opinions that Chayvi Lavim, the Kiddushin do take effect. So, therefore, it has to come to exclude. You might say, well, this is a valid Kiddushin, so therefore, this person gets to go back as well. So the Gemara tells us, no, because it says, lo likacha, you shall not take her, means a woman that you're allowed to take. A woman that you're not allowed to take, you're over an Isser, even though the Kiddushin are chal, you do not get this exemption. You don't go to the back, to the supply chain, but you have to stay in the battle up at the front. Now, all of these are Yisurim d'Araisa, with the one exception, as we pointed out already several times, of Chalutza. And that's because we find Gerusha and Chalutza often are just thrown together, as the language that they use is Kidei Nizba. So it really is the Gerusha over here, but it throws in the din of Chalutza as well. Others suggest, no, that this opinion is actually stating that any Issa marriage, whether it's d'Araisa or d'Rabbanan, is applicable here, that you don't go to the back lines, you stay at the front if there's any Isser at all in the marriage. Now, the Gemara wants to suggest, Lema, the low curve, Yosef Lili. Let us say that this doesn't go in accord with the opinion that we're going to learn later in the Mishnah, on the bottom of this daf. We'll have three opinions as to what it means when the Pasuk tells us, Hayore the Harach Levov. So, let us say that this doesn't go accord with the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. The Rav Yosef Glili, Ha'amar, Hayore, V'Harach HaLevav, a person who is terrified and he is afraid. So this person, what is he afraid of? Zamis Yore Me'averu Shebiyado. Rav Yosef Glili's opinion is that this means a person who is afraid of his sins. So therefore, such a person doesn't go out to the front lines in the first place. So therefore, this person wouldn't be a marriage that's inappropriate marriage because such a person is doing an Aveira. So therefore, he can't be in the front lines that now we're telling him that he doesn't have an exemption to go back because he would already have been excluded because of Hayare Virach Halevav. So let us say that our Mishnah doesn't go in accord with this opinion of Rosh Aglili, who explains Hayare Virach Halevav to exclude such a person in the first place that we don't need now a possible. The Kacha tell us that he's excluded. So the Gemara answers no. Afilu Tamer of Yosef Glili, this could even go in accord with Yosef Glili's opinion. Why? Because there's a machlokes between Abaye and Rabbah, and this goes with the opinion of Rabbah, Kid the Rabbah. What did Rabbah say? The Amar Rabbah. He says that you're only over the Isser when you complete the marriage, when you have Nisuin. But well, you shouldn't do this. You haven't yet been over the Isser when you just do Erisin with one of these women that, for example, Koi Godel with Amana, the Isser has not been Chal until you actually do Nisuin. But the Erisin itself is not technically over the Isser, as we'll explain in a moment, according to Rabba's Shita. You're only over the Isser, these prohibited marriages, Avonah L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyo, Nozer Sinel Yisrael, by Sol Bams in a sin, the Isser is only completed when you actually consummate the marriage. But just the Erisin, just the first stage of marriage, the Kiddushin, that is not technically an Isser. You're not Chayiv Achiyivol. Why? So the reasoning by the Kohanim is Matam. What is the reasoning? Because the Psukim first tell us, and in this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor, I'm saying this before Parshas Emor, you may be listening to this after Parshas Emor, but the Pasuk says, Amono grushov v'chalol zono es ele lo yikoch, kim sulami amav yikach isha, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take anybody but a besula, and then the next Pasuk says, why not? V'lo yichalol zaro, because you're going to have children that are halalim. So that can only be after the marriage is consummated. So, ma tam lo yikach, it's because, mishum lo yichalel, mishum hochi, ain't a low care ad sheyivo. Therefore, you don't go and actually get the isser until you actually have the act of consummating the marriage. Now, this is written, of course, by the Kohanim, so this would apply to a Kohen Gadol with an Amana or the Grusha Chlutz with Kohen Hedger. What about the Mamseres Tzil Yisrael and the Vassal of Mams of the Sin? So there are other psukim that are deriving that din that there isn't the machlokas between Rabba and Abayi. So they hold, everybody holds, that in that situation the issue is only chal when you actually consummate the marriage. Gemara continues to darshin. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk gave us the order. It said first the pasuk taught us about Asher Bona, if a person built a house and hadn't lived in it. Then it tells us Asher Nota, if you planted a vineyard and hadn't harvested yet. And then it tells us Asher Eras, if a person did the first stage of marriage but didn't yet consummate the marriage. So it seems to be telling us a specific order, the Gemara tells us. Limda Torah derech haaretz. The Brisa says the Torah is teaching us the way of life, the proper way a person should do things, that ideally, number one, Shiyivne Adam Bais. First, have a house. Then, Vita Kerem, have a parnasa. Go and plant a vineyard. And then, V'yachakach Yisra Isha. Then go and get married. So try to do it in this order. It's not saying that it's awesome not to do this in this order. However, it's giving us a good suggestion that this would be the most likely path towards a successful marriage, is that you should have everything prepared. So then, when you're getting married, you'll be more set and able to better take care of your wife and also learn Torah, because you'll be more financially set. So that's the preferred way the Torah is suggesting us to do this. And you can see this from Mishlei as well. Av Shlomo, Omar B'chachmaso. Shlomo said in Mishlei. The term B'chachmaso, the Maariv Tzchias tells us in the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Dalet, that the word Chachmaso implies that something was not said in Ruach HaKodesh. And this was said in Ruach HaKodesh, so therefore he would delete the word B'chachmaso. In any event, Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest person, and he had Ruach HaKodesh, and he wrote Mishlei, and it says in Mishlei, Hachein Bachutz Melach Techa. That's segment number one. First, go and prepare your work. We'll see what that means in a moment. V'atadah, then go and prepare Basadeh Loch. Go and prepare your field, and then after that, uvanisa veisecha, go and build your house. Now, how do we dash this pasuk? So we dash it in the following way: hachein b'chutz v'lach techo. The first part of the pasuk, that's a reference to go build the house. They're biased, and then the second part, v'atador basod elok, go and build, prepare your fields. That's a reference to the carrot. So we have the bias first, then we have the kerem, and then finally in Mishlei, the pasuk continues, Achar v'nisa be'secha, afterwards go and build your house. That's a reference to Zu Isha, because we have the famous rule that be'secha, that refers to your wife. And therefore, the order is, as we suggested in the Brisa, Mishlei supports that, first the house, then the vineyard, and then the wife. Okay. That's the first drush. We'll have many other Tanayim that go and darshan this in different ways. So Dover Acher, another way to darshan this, the Brisa tells us, is Hachein Bachutz Lach Techa. The first part of the Pasuk in Mishlei is a reference to Zeh Mikra, first learn Chumash. V'atadah Basar Deloch, afterwards, go prepare your field. That's a reference to Zeh Mishnah, go and learn the Mishnayis. And then Acher Uvanisa Mesecha, the third part of this Pasuk tells us, afterwards, Zeh Gemara, go and learn Gemara. In other words, you have to have a sound foundation in the Pesukim first, then you have to have a sound foundation in all the Mishnayis, and only then can you really delve into the Halacha, learning Gemara. Dover Acher, another way to dash in this Pasuk, That's prepare the foundation, the house. Go and make over here your fundamental understanding of the Mishnayis as well as the Pesukim. The Loch, that's Gemara. That's a reference to Gemara. And then the third part of the Pasuk, Achar Uvenisa Vesecha, Ilumasim Tovim. Then you can be prepared to do everything right. The person is not knowledgeable about what to do. There's no way he'll act correctly. If you don't know where to put your tefillin on, so then you can't put them on right. So you have to learn all the halachos of tefillin, and then elu ma'asim tovim. Then you'll be able to go and do all the mitzvahs correctly. Another explanation that the Braisa gives us, Rabbi Elazar, Pinosha Yosef Glili, Omer. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Yosef Glili, tells us that hachein b'chutz melachtecha, the first part of the Braisa is the pasuk in Mishlei, zeh mikra u'mishna u'gemar. That's all the learning. Go to mass, all the learning that you need to learn, and then then you'll be able to go prepare your field. That's a reference to now you can do all the mitzvahs properly. You can act like a mensch, you can do all the mitzvahs properly, and you can do chesed. And then finally, that's a reference to now you're in a position that you can go teach others. You've had a fundamental basis, you've established yourself as a good reputation. Now you can be the Rebbe, and therefore now you can go out and be Makabel Schar for being the teacher of the Torah. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It says, so in the Mishnah it said that the following people don't return if they didn't build a proper house, then it wasn't included. Now that's not what we're focusing on. We're actually focusing on now discussing the Vechule, where we had Rebbe Yehuda disagreeing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama had said that if a person rebuilt the house was destroyed, and then he rebuilt it in the exact same way, the Tanakhama says he does go back. However, Rav Yehuda said, no, if you built exactly the same house that you had previously, you don't go back. That's not called a bayis chadash. Torah. So the Braisa qualifies Rav Yehuda's statement. It says, even according to Rav Yehuda, who says you don't go back if you built it exactly, im hosid bo dimus echad, but if you added on even one little bit, you added on just a row of bricks, then chosid, then you would go back. This is considered new. Unless it's exactly the same as it was previously, then Rav Yehuda says you don't go back. But if there's any change, any addition, so then you would go back even according to Rav Yehuda. Then we quote the Mishnah where we had another scenario where Rav Elazar disagreed with the Tanakhama. Rav Elazar Omer, Afabonim base Levenim, Besharon, Lo Yechoser. The Tanakhama's opinion was that if you build from the bricks in the Sharon Valley, that those bricks were not very good bricks. So nevertheless, even though that house was going to be a temporary structure, the Tanakhama said you would go back. And Rabbi Elazar said, no, if you build a house with those bricks in the Sharon, you don't go back because it's a very temporary structure. Why not? So Tana, the Bryce explains what we had said in the Mishnah. Rashi had brought this down when we did the Mishnah. I quoted it then. Mipnei shemechadshin oso pamayim b'shavua. Because Rashi explained over there in the Mishnah that these bricks are lousy bricks and they're going to crumble and fall down. So you have to rebuild this house twice every 7 years because the bricks are lousy. You have to repoint it. You have to rebuild it. So therefore, that's called a temporary house. And therefore, that's not enough of a reason. That's not called a bayis chadosh that allows you the exemption to go to the back lines and be in the supply chain and not be at the front. Then we quote the Mishnah, the following people, Elu she'en zozen mimakoman. Following people, they don't even have to go to the front and then be sent to the supply chain. They don't even leave their houses in the first place to go to battle at all. And the Mishnah discussed all this that the person had built the house and lived in it, but not for a full year. He planted a carom and harvested, but not for a full year. He got married. He consummated the marriage, but hadn't yet lived with his wife. It's still in the Shana Rishona for a full year. So these people don't even go out to the battle at all. Tana Rabban, the Bryce expands upon this and says, how do we know all this? Isha Chadosh, when it says Isha Chadosh in the Pasuk, so how do we know that this means, Ki kach ish, isha chadosha, how do we know that this means, Ein li ela isha chadosh, it means a brand new wife. How do we know that it includes also a wife who wasn't a basula, amon u grush minayin, that if a person marries a woman who was previously a widow, or has been previously divorced, minayin, that this is also included, because for him it's a new wife. So Talmud Lomar Isha. It says at the end of the pasuk again, v'somach es ishto asher lokach. So we have the word Isha twice in the pasuk. The second time it wasn't necessary. You could have said v'simach osa. So it adds an extra word es ishto to teach us that this is any type of wife. Talmud Lomar Isha mikol makom. Once it tells me it's any type of wife, I might think that it's also machs grusha. So Gemara says no. The point of Isha Chadasha means Chadasha low. It has to be new to you. And Amon is new to you. A Grusha is new to you. Certainly a Basula is new to you. But machzir grushaso, that's not new to you. Misha chadasha lo, yotza machzir grushaso, shein chadasha lo. So this would exclude, therefore, if he remarries a woman that he had previously divorced, which again, as we pointed out many times, is mutter for a Yisrael, as long as she hasn't gotten married to someone else. So therefore, machzir grushaso is allowed. However, that's not going to give you an exemption to not go out. Even if you're married with her in the Shana Rishona, you have to go out. That's not a valid exemption. Tanurban, we learn further in the Braisa, lo yetze batsova. Pasuk tells us that you don't go out. You don't even go out to the front and then get sent to the supply chain in these scenarios where you're in the Shana Rishona for either the new house, the vineyard, or the wife. So, yocha batsova hudlo yotza avo yasbik mayim umbazon v'yisakein hadrochem. I might have thought that the same din applies as it did with the people that we had spoken about previously. Those that had only the first stage of marriage, they had built the house, hadn't lived in it at all, had built the vineyard, planted the vineyard, and hadn't harvested at all. So they had to go out to the front, but then were sent back to the supply chain. So I might have thought when it says lo yitzei batzav, it means that you don't go out to the battle, to the front, but you have to go to the supply chain. So Talmud Lomer, that's why the pasuk says v'lo yavor olav l'chol davar. So in that pasuk, ki kach ish isha chadasha lo yitzei batzav, it also adds v'lo yavor olav l'chol davar. So it teaches us that you don't go out at all. Oh, so then once these people don't go out at all, Yochushani Marbe, Afa Bonabais Lochanoch, Nota Karen Velochilo, Eris Isha Velolokocha, maybe includes the other group that didn't get their Shana Rishona started even. So I might have thought that they also don't go out to the battle at all. So that's why Talmud Lomar, it says over here, Olav. Lo Yavor Olav Lechol Davar. These people and only these people that are in the Shana Rishona, they don't go out at all. Olav Iatomavir, Avalatomavir Alachairim. But the others that are not in their Shana Rishona, so they do have to go out to the front and then are sent back to the back lines to be the supply chain. Now, the Gemara asks, why do we need both terms over here? It says, lo yitzei batzava, lo yavar olav l'chol davar. So the Gemara questions, the Brisa questions, so me'achad the question of lo yavar, it tells us that they don't go out at all, so lo yitzei batzava, lovely, it seems to be repetitive, but why do we need to tell me it a second time? So the Gemara says, exactly for that reason, labar olav b'shnei labim. The teaches us that if you do go out, so then you're over shnei labim. This person in the Shana Rishona, for either his house, his vineyard, or the new wife, so they're not supposed to go out to the battlefield, that they're over two labim that they do. Now, the next Mishnah will tell us that all of these dinim only apply when it's a milchemes rishus, when it's not an obligatory war. However, if Rachmana Lutzlan Klai Yisrael is attacked, or it's a milchemes mitzvah, or a milchemes chova, we'll see different terms, so then even the person who just got married and is living with his wife in the Shana Rishona, and the others as well, they would all have to go out to the battle. So we're here talking about these dinim of all these exemptions that we've been referring to, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, only apply when it's talking about a milchemes rishus, but not an obligatory milchemes chova, or with some term add as a milchemes mitzvah. Okay, now let's learn the next Mishnah. What the Mishnah tells us, we've already discussed a lot of this Mishnah in the previous Gemaras. We start off by quoting the psukim that the shochim said, the yosu hashochim ledaber eloam, and they say v'amru miyo ish hayore v'rach halevav yelech v'yoshov leveiso v'lo yimas es levav echov kilvavo. So the shochim say, if anybody is terrified over here, yore v'rach halevav, so then go back home and don't cause everybody else to be scared because you're scared. Now we have three different definitions as to what this pasuk means, yore v'rach halevav. So again, let's read the Mishnah. V'yosu hashotu l'dabir alon v'gomer, and I just read the full v'gomer. So we have the first opinion is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, what does it mean? Hayorei v'rach halevav? He says, kimashmo. It means exactly what it sounds like. People that are terrified. Number one, sheni yochol lamo b'kishrei muhammad. They can't stand in the battle. They're terrified. V'leros charev shulfa. They can't stand to have an unsheathed sword. So they're afraid of being killed or even afraid of killing other people. They're not battle worthy. These are people that shouldn't be in the front lines. So the pasuk tells us, don't let them go out there because they're going to make everybody else terrified. They're going to be petrified and everybody else is going to get petrified with them. So therefore, send them back home. That's what the pasuk says. Lo yamasis levav echad kil vavo. Now, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who we had mentioned previously today's shir, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, he defines Hayori v'racha levav zeh ha-misori min ha-averos shebiyodo. This is someone who is afraid. He knows he's a sinner, and he knows Hashem goes out to protect Klai Yisrael, to battle for Klai Yisrael, to protect tzaddikim, to protect good people, but he knows that he has done certain sins, and therefore he's afraid because of these sins, that he won't be successful. So such a person also is sent back. Lafikach, as the Mishnah tells us, Tolso lo haTorah es kol elu sheyachzor biglolah. And this actually is the reason why we have all the others, the person who built the house, the person who planted the carob, the person who married. So all of those are listed for this person who's the sinner, because he'll be afraid if they only let sinners go back. So, everybody's looking at him. Wow, he's a sinner. But people will see him going back and say, oh, he must have just planted a new vineyard. Oh, he must have built the house. Oh, he must have just gotten married. And therefore, it won't be a busha. So that's the way Rashi understands it. This is on the opinion of Yosef Glili. Others have the girsi here that this idea is on Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva says the person who's terrified, well, he's embarrassed that he's terrified. Maybe he won't go back. He doesn't want everybody to think he's a coward. Oh, you'll now have an excuse to be able to go back. Oh, everyone will say he built a new house, he built a new vineyard, he has a new wife, and that's why he's going back, and not because he's terrified. Okay. The third and final opinion sounds very much like Rav Yossi and Glili, and that's Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, this is coming to teach us, I want to call it Gadol, Grusha Chalutz, the Kohen Hedjot, Mamzeru Cecilia Yisrael, and Bas Yisrael, Lamamzeru and Asin, all of these are prohibited in the Torah. We've already mentioned the Chalutz is thrown in as well. So, Harehu, Hayore, Vera, Chalevav. This is exactly the person who's terrified and fearful. That's because of his sins. Now, this sounds very, very, very much like what Rav Yossi Glili just said, and the Gemara will point out there's a slight difference. Rav Yossi Glili seems to be encompassing all sins, midoraisa and midorabanan, and Rav Yossi seems to be only telling us the dinim midoraisa. That will be the Gemara's conclusion. Now, we conclude the Mishnah with the words, v'hoyo kichalos ha-shotrim l'dabar al-om, at the conclusion, when the shotrim finished speaking to the people, ufak du sari tzvos v'rosh ha-om. The pasuk says that they would appoint people to stand in the front of the battle, and as well, the Mishnah says, the pasuk doesn't say it, ubakevo shalom, and to stand behind the people as well. Why? Why were the people guards, so to say, standing in the front and standing behind them? So mamidim zekifim lifneim, they would put these strong people up at the front, these zekifim up at the front. That's to help out the people that Chas v'Shalom got wounded. As Rashi says, they would be at the front of the army, birosha shotzad b'chama, right at the very front, mamidim ne'olim kiborim. Special strong people, Memunim Lakacha, would be appointed for this purpose. Shimi Paul Echo bin Halochamim, if somebody were to fall down, Mislam would be hurt, or just to fall down, Yamidu, they would help him stand up again, Viasikfu, and they would straighten him up, Viakbiru Sanchez of the Reb, and they would be encouraging the people to go fight and not be afraid. So that's why they put these very strong people up at the front. Now, why did they put people behind the army? Why was that? So that's because the Kashil and Shobaz will be there, and they would give them these strong weapons. Some suggest that they're axes. The Metargim uses a word that says they're like a harpoon. In other words, they would have something in their hands that would be an implement, a tool that they could go and hit anybody that was fleeing. The whole of the Lachis Lach, so anybody who was afraid and was fleeing the battle, that's a terrible thing. It's going to lead everybody to flee. Everybody's going to retreat. So if somebody is going to retreat inappropriately, so they had the reshus biyado, they had permission, l'kapeach eshokov. Rashi elsewhere tells us they would kota regleim, they would actually cut off their legs. Others suggest they just give them a zetz and prevent them from fleeing the battle. Because, as we turn to Mimdalad Amud Beis, shetchilas nisa, the beginning of the retreat, is nefilas, falling down. Now that's actually backwards, and the Gemara is going to say the real girsa should be over here is shetchilas nefila. The beginning of a defeat is when people start retreating inappropriately. And that's going to cause other people to retreat, and therefore they would lose the battle. And we give two examples of this. Shenemar, in the first battle that we have with Eli HaKohen, when we were defeated by the Plishtim, and Chofni and Pinchas died, so Nos Yisrael, if they Plishtim, they fled, the people that were retreating, and that caused a bigger casualty to occur. And similarly, we have in the battle that Shaul and his sons lost their lives against the Plishtim, it says, Vayanusu, and the pasuk should say, Anshe Yisrael, Mipnei Plishtim, and again, Vayiplu Halol Megomer. They fled, and the beginning of the defeat was when they retreated, and that led to the ultimate defeat, and many, many people were killed. Okay, now, under what circumstances are all the Mishnayos, all the din that we learned the last couple of days? B'medvar Mamurim, that you have these exemptions, that's only B'milchamos HaRishus. That's a voluntary war, B'milchamos HaRishus. However, Avo B'milchamos Mitzvah, but if it's an obligatory war, Rashi explains, the obligatory wars could go in Kivush, Eretz Yisrael, B'mei Yeshua, HaKol Yotz, and then everybody has to go out, and this includes Apilu Chosan Mechadro, B'chala Mechupasa. Even the Chosan from the actual wedding, the chuppah has to go out to battle if it's a muhammad's mitzvah. The kala has to go out also. Everybody asks, what's the kala doing out in the battle? We don't allow women in the battle. So some suggest that she has to leave the chuppah. That's what it means, that the kala, the chassid is not there, so the kala leaves the chuppah. Not that she's going out to battle. Others say, like, no, that they're part of the supply chain. So they're cooking the meals. They're preparing the roads, doing whatever else needs to be done. Remember the famous Rosie the Riveter that in World War II, when all the men went off to battle, so there were pictures of women hard at work in the factories taking the place of the men. So that's what it means. The Kala Michupasa, they went off to do all the jobs that the men in the army now were not able to do. That's the first opinion. That's the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda seems to disagree. The Gemara clearly doesn't really, there's not a major disagreement over here. But Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda tells us that, B'medvar Mumrim, what are we talking about? This is B'muchamus Mitzvah. This is only, he uses the term a Muchamus Mitzvah, not a Muchamus Rishus. He uses the terminology Mitzvah for these somewhat voluntary types of wars, optional types of wars. But he says, Avol b'muchamas chova, which the Tanakhama had used the terminology b'muchamas mitzvah, he used the terminology b'muchamas chova, hakol yotzin, everybody has to go out. Avil l'chosin b'chupasa, b'chadro, b'kala b'chupasa. The chosin has to go out, and the kala has to go out, similar to what the Tanakhama said, just different terminology. So Gemara will say, the terminology that the Tanakhama calls b'muchamas rishus, so Rav Yehuda calls that b'muchamas mitzvah. And the Tanakhama's terminology of b'muchamas mitzvah, Rav Yehuda uses the terminology of Muchemes Chova. Albeit, we'll see there's a slight difference. When we get to the Gemara, we'll understand that. Now let's start the Gemara. Ma'ika bin Rav Yossi Aglili. We said the second interpretation was Rav Yossi Aglili. The third interpretation was Rav Yossi. They seem to sound very similar. Hayore Viracha Levob were people that have sins. So Gemara says, as I already pointed out, Ika bin Avera de Rabbanon. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, the Avera de Rabbanon is also something that you go and return for. But according to Rav Yossi, so then you don't go back for that, only for the ones that are D'oraisa. Now, Kiman Ozlo Hodetanya, who does the following Brisa seem to go like? It tells us that if a person has the Avera of Soch Bein Tvila L'Tvila, he talked in between putting on a Shalyad and a Shalrosh, which you're not allowed to do, but that's certainly only a Nisa de Rabbanon, so Avera Hu Biyadu, this is an Avera in his hands, and he doesn't stay at the front lines. He goes back. So who does this go like? Come on, it seems to only go like the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili, who says that even for during the Rabbanon, this Soch Bein Tvila L'Tvila is only the Rabbanon. Oh, it must be Rav Yossi Aglili and not Rav Yossi. Now, Man Tana L'Hodetana Rabbanon, who's the author of the following Braisa, Shama called Kuranos Virtia. If a person went out to the battle and he hears the enemy blowing on their horns, and it makes him very, very much afraid. Virtia, he's trembling. Or Hagopas Trisin, he hears the clanging of the shields. Virtia, and he gets terrified. Tzichtzuch Charobos, he hears the clanging of the swords, or he sees the swords shining, and he's so distraught. Umayim Shosin Lo Abirkov, and he loses control of his urine, and the urine flows out from him. He pishes in his pants because he's so terrified. So then, such a person is Chose. So, now, Kiman, who does this go like? So, seems to be, this is the exact opinion, Ayore Viracha Levav, Lema Rabbi Akiva, this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the law Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and not Rabbi Yossi as well. This doesn't seem to go in accord with their opinions. So where it says, no, in this situation where the person is so terrified that he loses control of his bladder, shows his law, Birkum, his urine comes out, and comes out and soils him, so then Baha, even Afilu Rabbi Yossi Aglili Moda, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say that that's a reason to go home from the battlefront. Mishum Dechsib, because it's based not upon the Pasuk Hayori Viracha Levav, Ella Below Yimas Es Levav Echo Kilvavav. He's going to cause everybody else to be terrified. They see him pishing in his pants, so they're going to also get very nervous. Well, how come he's so nervous? Oh, maybe we should have something to be nervous about. And therefore, this is the Pasuk that Rabbi Yossi uses to say that such a person should go home. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and some Rabbi Yossi as well, would use to say that the person should go home. Okay, then the Mishnah is quoted, when the Hashochim are done, so they go and we appoint the Giborim at the front and the Giborim behind them. So we question now the language that we use. Hi, Mipnei Shetchilas Nisa Nefila. That doesn't seem to be right. Mipnei Shetchilas Nefila Nisa Mabayle. The order is wrong. We don't say that the beginning of the retreat is the falling down. It's the beginning falling down is the retreat. So the Girsa is wrong. So he says, yeah, change it around. The beginning of the downfall is going to be fleeing Nisa. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah that this is the difference. We said the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda, they each said that these exemptions only apply in certain cases, but if it's an obligatory war, so then the exemptions don't apply. Even the chassid and the kala from the chuppah have to go to the battle. So, but Amar Rav Yochanan tells us Rishus Dirabanan. He explains that there's no real difference. The terminology the Tanakhama, the Chacham use, that say a Muhammad's Rishus for the Rabbanan, Zuhi Mitzvah the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda calls that a Muhammad's Mitzvah. But it's the same type of battle. These are voluntary, optional types of battles. And that which the Rabbanan called Muhammad's Mitzvah, Mitzvah the Rabbanan, Zuhi, this is what Rabbi Yehuda termed Chova the Rabbi Yehuda. So there's no real disagreement, but there is a slight nafkamina between them, as now the Gemara tells us. Amar Rava, Milchamos Yoshua Lichbosh, the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees, Diriyah Kol Chova. Everybody calls that a Milchames Chova. And everybody has to go out, there are no exemptions. And everybody agrees, Milchamos Beis David Liravacha, those battles that David instituted, those wars that he did in order to expand Eretz Yisrael for financial reasons and other reasons, everyone agrees, Divrei HaKol Rishus, that's an optional type of a battle. Ki pligi, where do they have the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma? Limute, avdei kochavim, the lolesei alayu. To go do what we would call a preventative war, a prophylactic war, to go and preempt the enemy from attacking. The Six-Day War, when Eretz Yisrael went and attacked preemptively, that was to prevent them from attacking us a week later. So therefore, limute, avdei kochavim, the lolesei alayu. The type of war where you're going to do preemptive measures, so Mar Korile Mitzvah, Yehuda calls that Muhammad's Mitzvah. And the Chachamim, Umar Korile, no, they call that still also a Rishus. What's the Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina is La Osek Be Mitzvah, Shepati Min Mitzvah. If somebody's engaged in that type of a battle, so according to Rav Yehuda, that's called a Mitzvah. So therefore, Osek Be Mitzvah, he's involved in a Mitzvah, so technically he would be parted from another Mitzvah if he can't do both of them. And according to the opinion of the Chachamim, no, it's a Rishus, and therefore he doesn't have the status of being Osek B'mitzvah, and that would be the Nafkamina between the two, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Hadin Alech Mishu B'Chama. Normally I would stop here, but the Dafim here are very long, and it's not that long a year so far, so we'll begin the ninth and final parak of this wonderful Masechta Sota. So we begin, Egla Rufa, Parak Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa is a special, unique din. It's a din that's in some way similar to Sota, that Sota works on a miracle. So the Ben Yehuda brings down that the Egla Arufa also was a miracle. And he points out the word Egla could be a nutrikon for Ayin Gale, that it opens up our eyes. And he brings down from the Targum Yonason that after they decapitated this animal, which we'll explain when they did this, so the worms would come out from the animal and lead to the Rotzeach. So we would figure out who the Rotzeach was through a miraculous fashion, which is not normally the way things are done. In any event, just to remind everybody, the Egla Rufa was brought when a person was Nebuch found dead, and they didn't know who killed him. So they had to figure out which is the closest town. They would measure out to the closest town. The town had to have a Sanhedrin of 23 in the town in order to be included in the evaluation. And there was a whole process that was done, which ultimately ended up with the Zikne Yair bringing this Egla down to a certain valley, and they would go and chop off the head of the animal from the back. Shlita is done from the front. They would chop it off from the back, Arufa from the back, and this process would be an atonement somehow for this murder. And as I pointed out, the Ben Yehuda says, it also gave us the answer, who was the Rotzeach in this case. So let us begin. Egla Rufa B'Loshon HaKodesh. The reason why we have this perek over here in Masechta Sota is because it is also one of the things that we pointed out in the previous parakim that had to be said B'Loshon HaKodesh. There's a process that went through it, as the Pasuk tells us, Shenemar, Ki Motzi Chol Ol Ba'Adama, and we'll read the whole Pasuk now. The Pasuk tells us that when they found this person, Nebuch, that was killed, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosi L'cho L'rishta, in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to inherit, Nofel Basada, found dead in the field, Lo Noda Mi Ko, we don't know who killed him. The next Pasuk, Yosu Zekeinecha V'shoftecha, the Zekeinim and the Shoftim came out, and we'll dash in all of these words, U'madadu El Ha'arim Asher Svivos HeCholol, and they would go measure out to the closest city that was near the dead body. Okay, so those are the psukim. Again, the Mishnah only quotes some of them. I just read you the two psukim. Now, Shlosha mi Beizdin Hagadol Shirushlaim HaYotzin. The process was that three people from the Sanhedrin Hagadol, from the Sanhedrin of 71, that was in Yerushalayim, would go out to Nebuch where the challah, where the dead body was found, and then they would start the process. That was the opinion of the Tanakhama, Rav Yehuda Omer Chamisha. He bases upon the drasha that we're about to say now, that the Pasuk says, Shenemar Zekeinecha, which applies to Shnayim, Vishov Techa, that implies to Shnayim, and the Ein Basin Shakal. We don't ever have an even numbered basin. So in case there's any machlokis that comes up, we can have a odd number, so there'll be one side that will be more than the other side. If it's even, it'll be two against two. So what do you do? So therefore, we have five. So if there's a machlokis, it'll be three against two. And we can make a decision. Now, doesn't sound like this is a situation where there's going to be machlokis, but it's possible that there could be some situation over here in the measurement or in other dinim where you need to have a psak din, and therefore we have an odd number. All beis dins always have an odd number. While technically a beis din can adjudicate with two, that's called the beis din chotzuf. That is a chutzmedik beis din that they think that they're going to definitely come to both the same conclusion and there won't be any disagreement. So beis din always has an odd number, 3, 23, 71, in order to go and get around this problem. Ein beis din shakal. Then, mosif and aleim od echad. So that's why you have to have five, because you have two and two from the psukim, zikeinecha and shavtecha, which would be four. So in order not to have an even number, we add on one more. Tanakama only says three. We'll have to understand why the Tanakama doesn't hold like the drush of Rabbi Huda, and therefore we'll have to learn what Rabbi Huda does with the drushes of the Tanakama. We'll get to that in the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem in today's Shisto. Then the Mishnah continues, Nimtza Tomun Begal. If you found the Nebuch, the dead body, the cholo, Tomun hidden in a gal is a pile of stones, or Tolui Bo'ilon, or he's hanging on a tree. Oh, tsof al pnei hamayim, or he's floating on the water. So none of these are on the ground itself, and this is a unique din that the dead body has to be on the ground, as we'll dash from the psukim. So lo yorfen, they didn't do the egla rufa process if the mace wasn't found directly on the ground. Shenema, as the pasuk tells us, when you found the mace, himotzi cholo ba'adama, asher Hashem lekecha nosein l'chol rishta, nofel basode. So we dash it now. It says ba'adama, the pasuk tells us, v'lo tomen begal, and not hidden underneath a pile of stones. No fail is found dead on the ground. No fail, the low, tolui bo'ila, they're not hanging on the tree. And basodeh, it has to be bedavka on the ground, below tsof al pnei hamayim, not floating on the water. Now, bottom line is, the Mishnah concludes, nimsa somach l'svar, if you find a dead body that's close to a border city, or le'ir shiruba ovdei kochavim, or next to a city that is, unfortunately, mostly the people that live there are ovdei avodah zarah. Oh, Lir Shein Bo Basin, or if it's near a city that doesn't have a basin of 23, a Sanhedrin Katan, so then Lo Hayu Orphan. Then the Egla Rufa process didn't go through. Albeit the Mishnah then concludes, it says, Ein Modim El Lir Sheish Bo Basin. The last part, if it's near a city that doesn't have a basin, so you just bypass the city and you go to the next biggest city that does have a Sanhedrin Katana that has a Sanhedrin of 23. Whereas in the first situations, if it's near a border town because it's near the Goyim, or if it's a city that's mostly made up of Goyim, so then the din of Egla Rufa doesn't apply, as the Gemara will discuss further. So let's jump right into the Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand how you can tell me that Egla Rufa has to be Lashon Kodesh. You quote a Pasuk. Where do you see that from the Pasuk? So my Kamar, how do you see that Egla Rufa has to be Lashon Kodesh? So I'm Rabbi Yavo, Hochi Kamar. Rabbi Yavo tells us that the Mishnah wasn't quoting the Pesukim that teaches this din. That was actually learned out earlier, and we remind ourselves that it says in regards to Egla Rufa, Shinemar, the Anu, the Amru. In regards to the parish of Egla Rufa, the Ziknei Ir, the town elders, have to say, Yodenu lo shavchu es adam hazeh, veininu lo ru'u. So it says the Lashon of the Anu, the Amru. They speak up and they say. And we find that similar Lashon, if you remember, we had this many, many times, in the preceding parakim, where it said, in regards to the brachos on ha'grizim and ha'evol, the pasuk said, "Olahalu omer the anu halavim the amru v'gomer." So we have this gzeir shava, anu the amru, the anu the amru, and therefore ma'ani amura lahalim b'loshin hakodesh. Just like on ha'grizim and ha'evol, it was in loshin kodesh. So too here by egla rufa avkan b'loshin hakodesh. And then the psukim in our mishnah are quoted not as the reason for saying Lashon Kodesh, but to go on and continue to say the Egla Rufa, Keitzat, and then it quotes the Pesukim that we had in the Mishnah, Kimotzi Cholo B'Avadoma, and then it goes to the next Pasuk, Yozu Kneach Meshav Techa, and then it says, Shlosh Mibes and Gadol, Shibishalayim HaYotzin, and then it teaches us the practical dinim of Egla Rufa, but that's not the source for Lashon Kodesh. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, Ruhudo Mer Chamisha B'chule. We had a machlokas between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, who say that only three of the Sanhedrin HaGadol B'Yushalayim have to go and be part of the Egla Rufa process, and Rabbi Yehuda said five. Now, what's this machlokes based upon? So the Mishnah talked about it a little bit, and now we'll get into more details. The Brice explains as follows, that according to Rav Yehuda, you have the words, Yasu zikenecha, the shovtecha, and he darshens from the word zikenecha, which is plural, zikenecha shnayim, and he darshens the word vishovtecha, which is plural shnayim, and because we have the famous rule of ain based in shoku, you can never have an even number of judges, because what are you going to do if there's a tie in terms of psak? So therefore, mosifin aleim odecha, you add another judge, so you have an odd number of judges. Harei kan chamisha de Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion that is fine. No, the Chacham in the Tanakhama, which now we see in the Brisa, is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Again, we're coming up on Lag Bomer. I'm dictating this before Lag Bomer. You may be hearing this after Lag Bomer. So Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the great Hilula of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on Lag Bomer. So Rabbi Shimon Omer Zikenecha Shnayim. He agrees with that. That tells you you have two, and he doesn't agree. Shov Techa is another two. So he just says Zikenecha is two. And they based in Shalkum Masif and Alei Morechad Harei Kan Shlosha. So therefore, you have to add on one additional judge, and he says three. The Chacham of our Mishnah say three. That's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and he argues with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Now, Rabbi Shimon, Nam Yoksev Shovtecha, so what does he do with that pasuk? What does he dash from Vishovtecha? Why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? There's another two. So Rabbi Shimon would say, how mi boyli, I need the pasuk Vishovtecha to teach us Limiyuchadin Shebishovtecha, that who comes over here to go and help measure? It's from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And not just Stam, the local Sanhedrin from the town, or a local basin, or a local rabbi. It has to be Mechuyuchadin Shebishovtecha, the judges. In other words, the Supreme Court from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And that's why the Shovtecha is not available to darshan another two judges. No, that's a very good argument. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? He did use Vishovtecha to teach us another two judges. Yehuda, Mizikne Zikenecha Nafku. He learns out that it has to be from the Sanhedrin, from the fact that it said Zikenecha, and not Zikne. Rabbi Yehuda, Mizikne, instead of saying Mizikne, it said Zikenecha Nafka. So therefore, he teaches that from Miuchadun Shebishovtecha, and then he has Zikenecha free and Shovtecha free to teach us four, which then becomes five. No, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon darshan that? Rabbi Shimon, he says, if it had said Zikne, you know what I would have said? Havamina afilu Zikne Ashuk. It could be any older people from the community, from the marketplace. La Davka Gedoli Torah. So therefore, Kasa Rachmona Zikenecha to teach us that it has to be judges that are on the Supreme Court. And therefore, he doesn't have it free to go and darshan an extra two judges. Now, the Kasa of Rachmona Zikenecha, and it didn't write Shovtecha, so then, Hava, I mean, I would have said, Afilu Sanhedrin Ketana. That could be implied. Okay, they have to be Gedoli HaTorah, but the people on the Sanhedrin Ketana, the 23 judge Sanhedrin that was present in larger cities, so one would have said that certainly those judges would have been fine to go and be part of the three judges that are needed to go out and adjudicate the Egla Rufa process. So, Hava, I mean, Afilu Sanhedrin Ketana. Therefore, Kasa Rachmana Vishovtecha to teach us this din, Limiyuchadin Shebishovtecha. That's why you need the word Shovtecha. And that's why Rabbi Shimon doesn't have it available to go in Darshan like Rabbi Yehuda did. So we've explained each of their positions, and now the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says from the fact that it didn't say Zikne, it said Zikenecha, that's how we know that it must be from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Rabbi Yehuda Gomar Zikne Zikne Mizikne Eida. So there is a Gzei Rishava over here to the Parhelim David Shal Tzibor, where it says the Zikne HaEida have to go and do the smicha on the animal when it's brought for a communal error. So Parhelim David Shal Tzibor is when the community follows the Sanhedrin and makes a mistake, and instead of each one bringing an individual private chatas, a kizbo asira, so the community brings the Parhelim David Shal Tzibor, and the Zikne, Zikanim, the Zikne HaEida have to go and do smicha on the animal. And he learns out of Gzei Rishava that from Ziknecha over here to Ziknecha Eida, so therefore, Malahala Miuchadim Sheba Eida, there it had to be the Sanhedrin, so too Avkan Miuchadim Sheba Eida. So that's how he learns out that it should be the Zikanim. But if you learn that, the Gemara says, E Gomar, so then, Ligomar Lukula Milsum Hihasim. So if you're saying that that's the source for the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that it has to be from the Sanhedrin, so why don't you learn out the entire din that it has to be five judges, because just like over there, Lukula Milsa Mihasam, Zikenecha Vishovtecha Lamali. So that had to be by five judges, according to Rav Yehuda, that the Parhelim David Shal Tzibor was leaned upon. So you don't need it all, Zikenecha Vishovtecha Lamali. If that's the source, so then his whole drasha that we have in our Mishnah, Zikenecha Vishovtecha, seems to be incorrect. So he says, you're right, that's not the source. He doesn't learn it out from this Gzei Rishava. He learns it out from the Vav, the extra Vav, Elavav, Vishovtecha Liminyona. That's where he really learns it out. He needs the Keinecha to teach us that it has to be Miyuchadim. And the actual additional two is from Vishovtecha, Elavav, Vishovtecha. That is where he really learns it out, Liminyona. So it's not just the Keinecha and Shovtecha, it's the Shovtecha that really makes him have the two, and then add one so you don't have a base in Shokel to get to five. So that's ultimately Rabbi Yehuda's drasha. And what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? Rabbi Shimon, how does he learn it out? And we turn to Memhei Amud Aleph. He doesn't dash on the Vav, lo mashmalei. He doesn't say that that's extra. And the words in the parentheses, the Mesoros HaShaz deletes, because we already had it previously, my kama rachmona hamiyuchodim shebishovtecha. He says that the whole word vishovtecha is to come to teach us this din, that it has to be from the Sinner of the Gadol. So it's not only shovtecha, it's vishovtecha, and therefore there's nothing extra, and therefore the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim HaMishnah say there's only two judges, and we add one to have based in that's not shakel, and that's where they get three. That's where Rabbi Yehuda got five, and with this we conclude today's share.